Welcome to the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. In the scheme of history, the Renaissance Franco-Flemish composer Nicolas Combert fits squarely between Josquin and Palestrina, and in fact was likely one of Josquin's students. This, according to Renaissance theorist Hermann Fick's Practica Musica of 1556, who also hailed Combert as an innovator for his compositions, quote, rich with full harmonies and imitations. Rich and full. There are perhaps no better words to characterize Combert's fully developed polyphony. His music is imitative and dense. Phrases overlap one to another, motives taken up in succession by each voice in turn. Here is the vocal group called Beauty Farm, singing the music of Combert, a motet called Suscipe Verbum, from their recent release on the Fra Bernardo label. Fink wasn't Combert's only contemporary that held the composer in high regard. In 1542, Ganassi is on record referring to Combert's abilities as, quote, divine, and another, Juan Bermudo, in 1555, referred to him as the profound musician. But the best evidence of Combert's popularity is the prominent place his works held in European printing houses. Venetian publishers Scato and Gardiner put out Combert's motet collections between 1539 and 1552, and his works continued to be published well after his death. As a result, a lot of Combert's music has survived the trials of time. Of it, 10 masses, a set of 8 magnificats, 60 chansons, and some 160 motets. This is Beauty Farm's second recording of the music by Combert, and it's packed with 17 of the motets, some that have never before been recorded. Which ones are recording premieres is unfortunately not indicated in the liner note, but there are many that are at least new to my ears. On the other hand, Combert fans will recognize favorites like Ego Sum Quisum or Hortus Conclusus. Perhaps the most well-known and often performed of Combert's motets is his Media Vita, and it receives a stellar performance on this disc as well. At the very end of the 15th century, Combert joined the chapel choir of the prestigious court of Emperor Charles V in Spain in 1526, and by 1529 was its maître des enfants, charged with the care and education of children. As a part of the imperial entourage, Combert traveled extensively throughout Europe. Perhaps this accounts in some part for the wide dissemination of Combert's music and reputation. In any case, all seemed to have gone well for Combert, until about 1540, when, accused of indecency with a choir boy, the composer was sentenced to the galleys, a punishment that amounted to a sort of criminal detention at sea. Gombert apparently continued composing during his exile, and after his release, became a canon at the Cathedral of Tournai. In music, as in life, Gombert is famous, or infamous, for dissonance. Interpretations of Gombert's compositions are complicated by the fact that they are littered with questions of musica ficta, that is, the unnotated raising or lowering of individual notes that, in context, performers must infer for themselves. Oh, the challenges of early notation. In Beauty Farm's interpretation, the ensemble seems to choose the most harmonically thrilling option, more often than not. Admittedly, I find the dissonances wonderful, though I was disappointed that the brief liner note offered little in the way of explanation and example. Listeners are told only of new additions that, presumably in reference to these questions of ficta, quote, reveal a dark, intricate, rough, and vibrant music. Here's some of Gombert's Ne reminis caris delicta nostra. Remember not, O Lord, our crimes. Listen carefully, if you can, to the dissonance at that text, Delicta Nostra. Intricate, rough, vibrant, that Beauty Farm strives for these particular qualities in their interpretation seems evident. Granted, Gombert's dense, meaty, complex polyphony isn't exactly easy listening, but after two discs full, I sometimes wished for greater nuance or subtlety in the singing and more made of the rare opportunities in the score for lightness or repose. Still, Beauty Farm's performance draws me in. The six voices of the ensemble are well-balanced, and their stylish approach to this music is admirable in a way that I think listeners will find satisfying. Beauty Farm. Resort spas notwithstanding, I'd love to know the story behind that ensemble name. But never mind. It's peculiar enough that you're not likely to forget it. But if on the off chance you do forget, just visit our website at harmoniaearlymusic.org. where you'll find a link to Beauty Farm's recording. And while you're there, you can also explore the Harmonia archive of podcasts and shows. This has been the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. I'm Janelle Davis. Thanks for listening.